All right, you normally would have an outline in your bulletin today, but you would have that if we were going to be in our series on the book. We would be in Jeremiah right now, but we're not going to do that. I decided, in light of this being VBS week, and some of you didn't have the opportunity to participate, that we would bring VBS to you. So, I was teaching on Friday on a particular parable. And afterward, I was teaching the first and second graders, and a little second grade boy came running up afterwards. They were getting ready to leave. He came running up to me, and he said, "Man, PJ, thank you so much for that." He said, "I didn't know that before." He said, "I did not know that before." And he said, "Now that I do," he said, I think I'll like give my little brother a sucker or something." That's what he said. It was so sincere, so cool. He was looking to respond in a way that was consistent with what he just heard. It was such a blessing. Second grader said that. It was so cool. What a blessing. So I proceeded to teach for second grade, then third and fourth grade, and then the fifth and sixth graders. And Bev Travis, Bev's here today, right? Where's she at? She's back there. And Bev said to me, when I was finished with the lesson, she said, "Jerry, I think you should preach that on Sunday." And she said, "People don't know that." And so I said, "That's a great idea, Bev, because my other message stinks right now because it's really hard to prepare a message with 90 kids running around." So in light of all that, I present to you, I'm just going to give it to you like I gave it to them, okay? And here's what I told them. First of all, no distractions. I said, "Here's how it's going to work today. I don't want any distractions, because if you're distracting, then you're distracting somebody else from hearing and seeing what they need to hear and see. So if you got to go to the bathroom, hold it. If you need it, if you need a drink of water, wait till afterwards." And I said, there's two rules. First, no distractions. The second is eyes. I know if you're looking at me, I'm PJ. Or the screen. That's the place I want to see your eyes. Or if you're taking notes, you can do that too. But I want to see your eyes. Because I know if you're looking at me, you're paying attention. If you're doing this, I know you're not paying attention. Or if you're looking at the person next to you, I know you're paying attention to them, but you're not paying attention to what the Lord has for you today. So those were the two things. I said, that's how it's going to work. And before we get started here, I want to show you, this is what our little crafty thing that we built. It's a little pyramid, kind of looks like a diamond. I gave him one of these. It's just a big old triangle. And they folded it into that. And on that pyramid contains every aspect of what I'm going to teach today. It's all right there. You can look at it and get all three parts of it. So it just kind of unfolds before you. Or should I say, folds before you. Right there it is. And I actually have some extra. So there's like 20 of them out there on the thing. If you want to take one home, you can be a VBS kid too. Right there. And it's pretty cool. So, let me share with you what I shared with them. The week was about diamonds. God wanting to make diamonds out of us. Where's my clicker thing? I had it with me. Here it is. Got it, Carl. Here we go. On Monday, Paul Sora taught the kids that parables are stories that Jesus told with two meanings. There's an earthly meaning and then a heavenly meaning. On Tuesday, Cheryl Aplander taught the kids about the four soils from Matthew 13, and she taught particularly about the fourth soil, the good soil, is the one that receives the seed of the Word of God, the seed of the gospel, and it grows there in that good soil heart and produces a crop. On Wednesday, Pastor Dave taught about the wheat and the tares. He kind of used the weeds and the corn to make it a little more relevant, and we found out that the weeds were burned where the corn grew and bore its fruit. And then on Thursday, Caleb Painter taught about treasure, the treasure of the parable, the treasure of the kingdom of heaven, that Jesus' kingdom is the most valuable thing of all, and it's worth everything you have. And then I began teaching on Friday. Here was our memory verse right here. Would you read it with me? You ready? Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Let me ask you a question. How do you forgive somebody? How do you forgive? Okay, let go of the wrong. Let's not get away from the text. Let's just keep it right at the text. How are we supposed to forgive other people? Like God, the way God forgives us, right? The way that God forgives us. So, it's pretty important we understand God's forgiveness. Because if we don't understand God's forgiveness, or we haven't been forgiven by God, then that makes it virtually impossible for us to forgive another person, according to this text. So our parable, my parable was on, go ahead, Carl, forgiveness. And it's from Matthew 18, verses 21 through 25. And the first thing that we got to deal with in this forgiveness thing, because forgiveness is a word you're all familiar with. You know it well. You probably use it a lot. But if, like you said to your kid, he comes to you for something, you say, well, you just got to forgive this person. And what if they said, well, what does that mean? How would you describe it? And forgiveness is one of those words that we use that sometimes pretty hard for us to actually define what it means. So, first thing we need to admit is this, it's hard. Forgiveness is hard. As a matter of fact, I'd go a step further and say to you that for me, and I believe for you also, forgiveness is, true forgiveness is impossible. I don't think it's humanly possible. That's how hard it is. And the reason that it's so hard is because of this, hurt. Most of the time when we talk in the context of forgiveness, it's that we have been hurt or damaged by something. And that just absolutely generates in us a lot of emotion and a lot of thought. Now, you'll notice I got this thing on my back. This is represents our burden. And if you notice, it's labeled what? It's labeled self. And see, at this point, when we look at someone has done something that hurt me, self gets really involved. And self says, well, okay, you hurt, someone hurt you, and that doesn't sit well with self. And self right away starts chirping. I mean, think about it. Has this ever happened to you? Any of these things? Has anybody ever made fun of you? I think all of us have had that experience. I remember when I was little, if you haven't noticed, I have rather large ears. And when I was little, they looked even larger. And I had some little kid in my class that used to make fun of that. They called me Dumbo. And for a little guy like I was, that was really hard for me. And I remember I didn't go home and tell people about it. I just went home and cried once in a while. We've had that happen. Has anybody ever embarrassed you? Has anybody ever actually caused you bodily pain? With kids, this resonates. They've been slapped, kicked, tripped, you know, a lot of times at school, getting fights once in a while. For some children, it's abuse-type things. These things happen. Has anybody ever used you to get what they wanted? Has anybody ever lied to you or lied about you? It hurts, and it goes really, really deep. Those are deep hurts, and now we're in the context of forgiveness. You ever heard this phrase? I'm sure you have. Read that with me really loud. I don't get mad, I get even. You've heard that, right? I don't get mad, I get even. That's my burden talking. That's how my burden sees it. And that makes sense to us because the thought of somebody hurting me and I forgive them means that I'm going to hurt alone. They're not going to hurt. We'll get more into that later. But true forgiveness is saying I'll be the only one that hurts and I'm okay with that. Well, let me tell you something. We're not okay with that. We're not okay with that at all. As a matter of fact, that's not what? Fair. I had this one little Pioneer Club girl over the past 2 years. I bet she said, I've heard her say that 40 times. That's not fair. That's not fair. That, you ever heard kids say that? You ever heard adults say that? That's not fair. Well, listen, they're right. The fact that someone would hurt you intentionally, viciously, and you forgive them, that's not fair. But this message is not about justice. It's about forgiveness. We might throw a little bit in about justice along the way. But see, justice works like this. Our burden says, I'll be the one to pay that back. I'll be the one to levy justice here. I don't get mad, I get even. So, you ask me, or I ask you, getting even or paying someone back, is that forgiveness? No, that's not. We know that. That's not forgiveness, right? How about this? Looking at it from the angle of hurt, to make that other person hurt like they hurt you, is that forgiveness? Now, in our minds, our burden says, yeah, but that's just. That's fair. But remember, we're not talking about justice right now. So, Matthew 18. This is our story. It's a parable Jesus told. It's Jesus' parable on forgiveness. Let me set it up for you. I'll tell you the story. Jesus had these 12 guys that followed him around. They were his pupils. They were his disciples. And the leader of that band was a guy named Peter. And he was the guy that talked all the time. He was a real chatterbox. And he came to Jesus one day. And he said, hey, Jesus, how about this? Go ahead. Should I forgive somebody up to 7 times? Now, Peter thought he was being extra good because the religious rules of the day, I read somewhere, said that 3 times is what you had to forgive. So on the 4th time, the backpack, the burden could kick in. But Peter's thinking he's being extra good here, and he says, how about I go up to 7 times, Jesus? And here's what Jesus said to him, Peter, not 7 times, but what? 70 times 7, you do the math. Very, you're a little slow on the math there. Go ahead. 490. Now, Jesus, I assure you, was not saying, okay, Peter, you got it all wrong. You got to go 490. But then on the 491st, you can really get him. That's not what he's saying. He's exaggerating here to say something that's incredibly, incredibly awesome. Both for Peter, for the disciples, and for these disciples here today. This is the best news ever, and it ain't fake news. And that is, here's what Jesus was saying. I remember Jesus was saying this, okay? Jesus is saying this. Here's his message. Great news, here it is. Can you see that? It says, God is very, 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 I'm through 2.5 lines right now. Forgiving. And if we put about 10 million more of those on there, we still wouldn't have plumbed the depths of that. Isn't that great news? That God is forgiving. He wants and can forgive you and me. But listen, for that sense of self, because I'm telling you right now, you and I were born with this burden in place that basically says, we would never put it like this, but that life is all about me. It's all about me. You know, my diaper's dirty when I'm little, so I scream. I'm hungry when I'm little, so I scream for food. And that just kind of morphs as we grow and our soul develops and our body develops into this self-centric, egocentric kind of way of living. And that when we get to adults, we kind of call happiness. You know, what'll make me happy? That's what I'm going to pursue. And we don't see that as a problem. We don't see this burden as really a problem. We can't even see it that way. But we kind of grow up and we give God maybe a second or a third or a fourth thought when the reality of life is that we were designed and created for him, to make much of him, to glorify him, to point to him, and that is not what we're doing. That is not what we're about. Even the best of us, we think we're doing well. I try and be good. I try and be kind to people. I treat people well. I work hard. Yes, all that and then some. But who's it for? What's it about? And most of the time, it's just our way of building a life that is for us. So God is very, 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 very forgiving. Go ahead. And here's the parable. Let me show you the parable. Okay, you got your, if you had your little triangle, one of the triangles is the parable. It's the top one. And here's what it's about. I'm going to paraphrase it. There was this king. The parable says master. And the king had a servant. We'll call him servant number one. And this servant owed this king $10 million. Now, it's not exactly that. If you look at the footnotes in your Bible, it might say millions and millions of dollars. But the point of it is this guy owed the king more money than he could ever hope to repay him. Couldn't repay it. So he goes to the king, and he begged his forgiveness. And he even said this, "King, please give me just a little bit more time. Give me more time, and I'll pay you back all that I owe you." Now, what do we say about the debt? Could he ever pay it back? No. Did the king know the guy couldn't pay it back? Yeah. It's an unpayable debt. He could live 10 lifetimes and work as hard as he wanted, and he couldn't pay this debt back. It's just beyond payment. And so the king, he was a good and compassionate king. He forgives the guy, even though he's saying this song and dance about it. I'll pay it back if you give me enough time. He forgives the debt. Pretty cool. Well, servant number one here had a servant. We'll call him servant number two. And servant number two owed servant number one, say, about 10 bucks. Not much at all. Could you pay that back? Even if you didn't have it, you could pay that back pretty quickly, pretty easily, right? So he owed him just a little bit of money. So he goes to servant number one, and he begs his forgiveness, and he says, "Look, I don't have it right now, but forgive me for that. Just give me a little bit of time, and I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back in full." And guess what servant number one said? Ha! He grabbed him by the throat and says, "You're going to pay me now. I want the money now." He refused to forgive him. And then he had him punished. Now, in Jesus' day, if you couldn't pay your debts, they threw you in prison. That was not an illustration of throwing. But they threw you in prison, and you stayed there, and they sold everything you had until you had enough money to pay the debt. And if everything you had wasn't enough, then they would sell your wife and your kids into slavery to pay the debt. Now, could he pay this debt? No. So that guy was going to be in jail his entire life. This guy, 10 bucks, and the guy had him thrown in prison until he could pay the debt. Now, the king gets wind of how servant number one treated servant number two. By the way, these lines right here are forgiveness, represent forgiveness. And servant number one refused to forgive servant number two. The king got wind of how servant number one treated servant number two, and he said, "That guy doesn't understand forgiveness at all." And he, the king, had him punished. Go ahead. Now, let's pick up the parable with the words of Scripture. I'm going to read the first verse. We're going to read what Jesus said, how he wrapped this up. Go ahead. All I got for verse 32, you take verse 33. He says, "Then the master," that's the king, "called the servant in." He said, "You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to." Go ahead. I want you to answer that question, yes or no? Yes. I don't think anybody here would say, no, you shouldn't. Shouldn't have had mercy on him. We logically would look at that story and say, yes, he should have had mercy on the other guy, especially how much forgiveness he had received. Go on. Let me read this one. "In anger, his master, the king, turned servant number one over to the jailers to be tortured until he should, read the rest of it with me, pay back all he owed. Now, we already said, could he ever pay it back? No. So this guy was looking at having everything he owned sold. He was looking at having his wife and kids, if he had them, sold into slavery, and he was going to spend the rest of his life until the day he died in prison. Now, at this point, Jesus ends the earthly story. He's talking to Peter. Remember, this all started with Peter. How about I forgive seven times? Jesus said, nope, God is way more forgiving than that. How about 490 times? And so now he's talking to Peter. Read it with me. He says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Don't gloss past that. A few weeks ago, we had a message and we defined the heart, the human heart, according to Scripture, is how you think and how you feel. So what we're talking about in the context of forgiveness is we've been talking about hurt. You've been hurt. In your heart, you have an emotion of anger, an emotion of hatred, an emotion of bitterness. Depending on how far you let that go, you have an emotion toward this other person that hurts you, right? That's part of your heart. And then, also part of your heart, not just emotion, but thinking, what we tend to do is when something bad happens to us, we think about that thing. We rehearse it in our thoughts. We remember it. And then, sometimes we even run ahead and imagine situations where we would pay that person back. Oh, I would say this to them, and I could do this to them to make them hurt like they've hurt me, right? Your emotion and your thought. Jesus says that's how far down inside your soul forgiveness has got to go. And that's why forgiveness is really hard and why forgiveness is really impossible. See, we use the term almost flippantly without thinking about what it means. This has got to get down there to where I hate and change that. It's got to get down there to that vain imaginations of running ahead and how I could punish that person for the hurt that they've inflicted on me. That's how far this has to go. And this right here, this burden is saying all the time, that's not fair. I don't want anything to do with that. That is not right, we would even say. Now, in light of this parable and what Jesus said, let me ask you this question. Is forgiveness important? I think it's really important. I mean, especially how Jesus closed that off. That's how God's going to deal with you if that's how you deal with other people. That's pretty important stuff. Remember our memory verse. How are we supposed to forgive other people? How? The same way, what? God forgave me. Remember, if you don't understand God's forgiveness, and if you haven't experienced God's forgiveness, then you're not going to be able to get that deep and root that crap out of there without that. You got to understand God's forgiveness. So let's do that. Let's go to our next triangle. I like to call this my definition of forgiveness. It goes M, in my equation of forgiveness, M plus G, I was a math teacher, you know, equals F. You probably know what the F stands for, right? What? Forgiveness. But we need to understand the M plus the G that makes it up. The M stands for, right here, mercy. Mercy plus G equals forgiveness. What is mercy? Mercy is that activity and that heart that says, I am not going to pay back that hurt. It's when you've been hurt and you decide, I'm not going to make that, I'm going to hurt alone and I'm going to be okay with that. How do you think your burden feels about that? That doesn't make sense. It resists that to the nth degree. But true mercy says, I'm not going to pay it back. I got slapped. I'm not going to slap that person back. That person tripped me on the way to the front of the classroom. I'm not going to go out on the playground and trip them on the way to the slippery slide. I'm not going to do that. Which means, this is the hard part that this burden doesn't like, is I'm going to hurt alone. That's mercy. I'm not going to pay it back. What do you think this is, the G? That's grace. Grace, now this doesn't make sense to our burden. This makes even less sense. Grace means I'm going to bless that person that hurt me back. I'm going to bless back. Hold on. I just got hurt by you. You slapped me. And I'm going to give you my candy bar. You went around and told lies about me behind my back. I'm going to speak words that are edifying of you to other people in return. You stole from me. I'm going to give to you. That reminds me a little bit of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount when he said, you know, somebody, these Roman soldiers used to be able to take any Jewish citizen and say, here, carry my armor for a mile. And you had to do it. And Jesus said, you know when they tell you to do that? Carry it too. Bless them back. And my back burden, my backpack is saying, I don't like this. I don't agree with this. To be the only one that's not right, it's not just, and no, I'm not going to live that way. So, I don't know about you, but just thinking about it, leave the emotion for a second and just think logically about it. Mercy, I'm not going to pay back the hurt, plus grace, I'm going to bless back, is the stuff of forgiveness. To me, that defines it down, breaks it down, and says, okay, I get my mind around that. I don't like it in and of myself, but I can at least get my mind around forgiveness beyond just a word that I use all the time, but I don't know what it means. Now, go ahead. So what is forgiveness? It means no paybacks. I'm not going to hurt the one that hurt me. It says yes to bless backs. I'm going to bless the one that hurt me. That's my mercy plus grace equals forgiveness equation. And I want to ask, how do we know that's true? I mean, if my burden, myself, is saying, you can't live that way. That's not just, that's not right. And you'd be taken advantage of, and it doesn't resonate with the way the world works. How do we know that that's true? And the answer to that question is right there, is Jesus. And I can show you example after example. This guy lived 30-some years on earth, and people said all sorts of terrible things about him all the time, tried to twist his words, tried to trip him up. Did he ever come back with them with words other than that were true and words of grace? No. The night that he was betrayed, the next day he was crucified, they arrested him and brought him before sort of a kangaroo court that met in the middle of the night, and they ginned up a bunch of witnesses that said all manner of lies about who Jesus was and what he did. Did he say, that's a bunch of baloney, they're lying, they're a bunch of liars, that's not the way it was at all? Did he say that? No, he didn't say a word. See, he took the hurt. He did not respond in kind. He didn't pay back the hurt. The scripture says, like a lamb before his shearers was silent, so he didn't open his mouth. And while they were doing that, once in a while they'd smack him in the head and spit on him and different things like that. Was he tied up? Did he kick at him and try and headbutt him when they get close enough? Try and make them hurt like they were hurting him? No. And eventually he was turned over to the Romans, and they continued the mocking and the spitting and the striking, and then they whipped him within, almost killed him. They whipped him so bad, tore the flesh from his legs and buttocks and back and shoulders so much that they were literally just quivering ribbons of flesh, just blood everywhere. And they took a crown of thorns, a vine of thorns that they got somewhere locally there. I've heard it said that those were about an inch, inch and a quarter thorns on the local thorn bushes there, and they crafted that into a mock crown. And of course, you can't press that thing down because you're going to get hurt. So they put that on him and then took his staff and used that to hammer it into place. Did he lash back? Did he kick? Did he struggle? Did he call him names? No, he didn't do any of that. And then they forced him to carry the cross to where they were going to end his life. They laid him down on it and drove nails right here between these two bones, the radius and ulna, where there's a nerve right along in there, and here, and then through his feet. And when they had that done, they raised that thing up. And I'm imagining they probably had some sort of hole that it just went boom down into a little bit, at least, on the nails. He didn't say much. He said a few things while he was on the cross. One of the most striking things he said is he prayed. So he pushed on the nails and pulled up enough so he could get enough air to pray. And then he said, "Father, forgive these people that beat me, spit on me, hit me, whipped me, drove the nails into me, and are killing me because they don't understand what they're doing." Mercy didn't hurt back. And grace, he actually prayed for the souls of the people that were killing him. He blessed them in that way. Mercy plus grace equals forgiveness. He prayed for their forgiveness. That's how I know that mercy plus grace equals forgiveness. Now let's go to the heavenly meaning of the parable for a second. The king, or the master, is God. The servant down here, the guy that owed him $10 million, an unpayable debt, is you and me. Now right away my burden says, well, hold on a second, I'm not that bad a person. I work hard, decent dad. I try and treat people right. I pay my bills. I try and be honest. And all these things to our account. And we say, how do I owe God an unpayable debt? And I just pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal that to you. Because if you think, you know, compared to other people, I'm a pretty good guy. And that may be true. But if you're on the top of that mountain, what you got to see is that mountain is a mountain of manure. It's like, the king piece of crap on Crap Island. Now that doesn't sound right maybe in a sermon, but that kind of sums it up, really. Because unless your life is all about who God is and making him known through how you live and how you treat other people, then you are missing that boat. And I guarantee you that most of the good things we do is more about us a lot of times than it is about anything else. We owe God the best of us. That's why in the scriptures God told the Israelites, your righteousness, the best that you are compared to my holiness, is like filthy rags. And if the word crap offends you, the filthy rags were menstrual rags. That's what the Bible says. So, it's pretty graphic. We're that guy. Who do you think this is? The servant who owed is another person that has sinned against you, that has hurt you. And I am not minimizing the pain. Life hurts. Sin hurts. I do not mean to do that. And I apologize to you if because we there are probably people in here that have experienced abuse of all kinds when they were children. I do not want to minimize that for a second. It hurts, and it is devastating, devastatingly painful. That's not what I'm trying to do at all. But I am trying to tell you that forgiveness is the key to your healing, that this burden has to go. I talked to a man years back who had, he was in the process of a divorce because his wife had been unfaithful to him. And he was so angry and so bitter, and he was going to get rid of her, basically. And I said to him, you know what? You're going to have to forgive her, whether you divorce her or not. For you to move forward and live as God intended you to live, you're going to have to forgive her. So why don't you forgive her and maintain your marriage all at the same time? Well, he rejected that counsel, and he went ahead with the divorce. About 6 months later, he's back at my house. And he said, I'm just eaten up inside. He hadn't forgiven. The divorce was final. He had punished her. She hurt me. I'm going to hurt her. And it didn't satisfy. The burden was still in place. Now, here's the deal. The whole parable is about God has forgiven me and an unpayable debt. And I need to forgive this person. Why? This is the point of the whole parable. The way that you understand God's forgiveness and the way you respond to other people can show this person, can show this world, and can show the angels in heaven and all the heavenly beings the forgiveness of God for you. Click that right there. That's the point. And this has been removed. It's not about me anymore. It's about through my life, I'll wear that pain. I'm not going to pay it back. I'm going to bless that person back because I have the opportunity to show this person, the world, and all the heavenly beings the forgiveness of God. My life is about making him known, knowing him and making him known. That burden has been removed. It's not about you anymore. Isn't that glorious? That's forgiveness, and that's what Jesus was talking about. So I ask you today this simple question. Have you been forgiven by God? And do you want to forgive those who hurt you so that they see God's forgiveness through you? You want people to see and know God. It's the only context that this kind of forgiveness makes sense, because it doesn't make sense to that right there. It only makes sense when God enters the picture in his character and nature and his love and his grace and his mercy. For that to be displayed in this world is your and my opportunity who understand and know and have experienced God's forgiveness and want like crazy for the world to discover what we have found. Have you been forgiven by God? And the next question is, go ahead, Carl. Do you want to be? Now, I ask that question for two reasons. Number one, for those who have never heard anything about them. You've never heard the gospel. You've never heard about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for your sin, from your grave, for your salvation, so you can get rid of this burden right here and live for his will instead of your own. I ask that question for you, but I also ask it for those who would be here today and say, you know, I've been forgiven of God. I'm saved. I know Christ as my Savior. but this goes a little deeper than what I've ever thought of it before. And I've had people that have hurt me. I've had people years ago that really did some damage to my soul. And I struggle with that. So I ask it for those two reasons and ask for you to get some help or to respond today. Talk to the Lord about it in both those contexts. And if today is the day of your salvation, the day that you want to seek God's forgiveness, then by all means do so. Because God is very, 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 very forgiving. Amen? All right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this message. It's not my message, it's yours. Mercy is yours, grace is yours, forgiveness is yours. You define it for us. There's no forgiveness that we can even think about that's like the cross of Jesus Christ and the fact that you sent your Son to be one of us for our salvation. It just blows us away. There's no forgiveness we can give that even touches on that. Overwhelm us with the gospel so that we can embrace it and live it and show it and invite our family members, friends, enemies, everybody to the same forgiveness that we enjoy. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship team.